2:6:13. We're up to the third Aliyah, Parshas Bishalach. A very, very difficult day. Difficult day for Klal Yisrael, for the Jewish people. Just losing so many people at once is... There are no words. There are no words. And Hashem should just give a nechama to all of Klal Yisrael, to all the Jewish people, and bring the soldiers and the hostages home immediately, and bring an end to this insanity, to this backwards and crazy world. Our learning will be done in the memory of those who fell today, the 24 soldiers who we lost in the past 24 hours, and of course all the hostages and all those who are on the front line. Okay, so I'm going to share an approach of the Malbim on the third Aliyah. Excuse me, I closed my online text of the Aliyah. Here we go. So we're up to the third Aliyah. The third Aliyah is really where it begins. Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea, begins. And when we think of the splitting of the sea, we normally think of, the sea split. You know, there are some other midrashim which talk about the sea splitting into a number of different rows for each tribe. But there are a couple of oddities of the text over here which lead the Malbim to suggesting a whole nother layer of miracles. So one thing that's strange is the fact that the Mitzrayim, the Egyptians, they chase after the Jewish people, despite the Torah tells us there is a cloud and there is a pillar of fire. And the Egyptians are still running after the Jewish people despite this like very, very, very overt miracle. It's only later on, in the midst of the sea, they say, oh, God's here. And then they say, we got to get out of here. And they try to turn around. By then it's too late. Their chariots are already melting and they can't get away. One of the questions the Malbim asks is, why did it take them so long? They see a pillar of fire in the sky. I don't know about you, but I'm running. I am not sticking around. Obviously, it's not going to end well. Like, what in the world was going through their minds? The other questions he points out are a couple of textual oddities. It doesn't talk about the Egyptians going down into the sea. Rather, it says they went, sounds like they go across. They're going across and not down. It doesn't talk about them going down. Neither does it talk about the Jewish people going down. Normally it would say that they go down because not going into the water. The water splits. So whenever you have a water, so that means there's a valley of sorts. If there's no more water there, if the sea splits, you go downwards and then walk in. But it doesn't say they went down. It just says, it implies they went straight, the Jewish people and the Egyptians both. In addition, it speaks about the Jewish people going into the dry land and the water and the dry land. What is going on over here? So we don't have the time in a short class like this to get into all the textual proofs, but the Malbim's approach is, he elaborates on the miracles that took place at Kriyas Yam. So if he suggests that, if you look closely, it talks about the pillar, the cloud and the pillar of fire, but it sounds like the cloud comes first and then there's a pillar. And the significance of that, he suggests that this very thick cloud is behind the fire. There's a fire there which is lighting up the way for the Jewish people to continue traveling, but behind the fire is a pillar of, is a thick cloud. So imagine you're the Egyptians, you're walking through the desert now chasing after the Jewish people. You don't see the fire because all you see is that thick, thick cloud. Therefore, what they see is a fog. They don't see anything which looks miraculous, and that explains why they're not running after. But then, let's continue. So they walk, the Jewish people, the sea splits. But says the Malbim says something wild. He says that the sea froze over. It split, it went on both sides, but the Jewish people did not have to go down into the valley. God made it so easy for them. There was a freezing of water that the Jewish people were able to walk on. Let's assume I went walking today, as you can see from my clothing, and walked on the path I normally walk on, and it was quite slippery, but let's assume it was a non-slippery path that they were able to walk on, and they're walking on this path of ice. So there's water up, frozen on both sides, right? The Torah says rough cut in this. Strong east cold wind comes and it freezes water. They're able to walk on a surface of ice, and there's walls on both sides, and the Jewish people are walking straight. That also explains, suggests the Malbim, why the Egyptians, they know where the Yam Suf is, and if all of a sudden they start walking down, they're going to realize, wait, there's no down, I'm walking into an area of water. But that didn't happen because they're walking straight, so they didn't realize that they're walking over water. And therefore suggest the Malbim, what happens if you look at towards the end of the Aliyah, Vayibash Marz Avoker, Vayashkev Hashem Amachne Mitzrayim Amud Eish V'Anan. Then, in the morning, God appears through this fire. All of a sudden in the morning, the clouds go up, and now you just have the fire. What does the fire do? The fire melts the ice. At this point, it's too late. The Egyptians are on this sheet of ice. They're on this walkway of ice that the Jewish people just crossed. And now God brings a fire down, melts that ice. Vayaham esmachle mitzrayim. And now there's absolute confusion. And their wagons start to melt. Their tires start falling off. And now v'yom mitzrayim. Now they get it. Now they see a miracle is taking place. Anusam bnei Yisrael. I'm going to run away. Ki Hashem nelcham lehem mitzrayim. Because God is waging war against us now. But suggest again, what the Malbim is trying to lay out for us is to recognize the Egyptians didn't walk into an obvious trap, rather due to a number of miracles, miracles which made the traveling of the Jewish people smooth. They didn't have to go down and then go back up. They just went straight. They had a fire in front of them to guide them in the darkness. They had their own flashlights. So all these miracles, which on the one hand were convenient for the Jewish people, at the same time laid a trap for the Egyptians, and therefore it's only while they're standing in the middle of the Yam Suf on a flat layer, that's when the fire comes out, and that's when the water starts to melt, and that's why the Torah says, Vayina'er, they're mixed in. The implication is the water didn't cover them, but rather they went into the water, because the water starts melting, and therefore they fall down forward into the melting water. The significance of this is as follows, and that is that when we think of miracles, we think of Kriyas Yam Suf, we have a limited view, we have one view, but then we zoom in, we see a broader, more beautiful, more significant picture, and that's true for all the great and good things that happen in our lives. We could see them superficially, we could, you know, see a good that happens to us, and then we could spend a little bit of time, a little bit of contemplation, looking a little bit deeper, and appreciate the nuance, the details, the many levels of goodness that we are the recipients of. It's not only true for Kriyas Yam Suf, as we said from the Ramban last week. The Ramban says the purpose of all these great miracles is that through the Nisim Nigla, through the overt and obvious miracles, we are meant to see the Nisim Nistaros, the hidden miracles that take place every day, and not just to see them, yeah, I woke up this morning, I'm breathing this morning, but to zoom in, to see more and more and more of the details, the beauty, all that God does for us in its incredible, incredible detail. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.